Hi, this is Brandy from The Inspiring Bee. Today I'm interviewing Deb Hunter, a historian and author of several books. Hi, Deb. I'm so thankful that you're here, and I have so many questions to ask you because I read your bio and you have so many interests and you've done so many things. So first of all, I wanted to ask you, you said that you're an author and a historian. So what do you do as a historian?
Hi, Brandy. First off, thank you for having me. I appreciate it very much. I'm not really sure of what you do as a historian. I have a BA in history from many moons ago, but I actually went into sales and marketing. So history has remained my passion. I've traveled because of my interest in history, and it's just something I never really put aside. And now there's a big call for history. There's a big audience for it, and especially women writing history. So my timing's been pretty good for some weird reason.
Yes, I mean, I
see
very
that. Thankful for it.
Well, I see that you've written a lot of books. And so you've written, you said 5 books total?
Yes, that's correct. Uh-huh.
And did you use some of your history background into writing these books? And are they all fiction books or some nonfiction?
I have one that's nonfiction. It's published through Pen and Sword History Books in the UK. It's called Sexuality and Its Impact on History, The British Strip Bear. So that is a history book. The rest are fiction. I have one fictional story based in Tudor England, 2 short stories that are about a musician in Nashville, and then my debut novel, which is called September Ends. They all have a little bit of history worked into them, especially, of course, the Tudor England one. But you'll find traces of it in everything I do.
That's so interesting.
Because history's all around us.
Yes, I mean, it really does. It really plays a part right now as well. And when I talk to you and you have so many interests, like how did you always kind of want to be a writer too? I know you went into you're a historian and then you went to marketing. So how did writing come about for you?
It's something that was always there. In marketing, you're always having to do presentations. So words are very important, just the same as it is in writing, only maybe you do a presentation, you have to give a talk somewhere. So I've always been surrounded by words.
That's so interesting that you write nonfiction and fiction. Do you find that they're very different?
They're very different. With history, you have to practically document every sentence, and it can be very tedious. Now, if you love it, it's not tedious, but if you're trying to write a book, it's much more difficult than just sitting down and making people up and writing down their story. So they both have advantages, they both have challenges.
Do you prefer writing one over the other?
I really prefer history, but right now, I don't know if you know, but I'm a stage 4 cancer patient, and the last couple of years have been very challenging, to use the same word again. And being creative with this latest story has really been a blessing for me, because I've been able to write things down that I've made up, and it's been such a relief just to let your mind run free.
I know what you mean about that. Really touched me actually when you told me that, and thank you for sharing. Are you doing well right now?
Right now I'm doing great. We walked, my husband and I walked about 1.5 miles this morning. Kind of funny, we woke up and it's only 45 degrees in Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh, wow.
On the 9th of May. So that was a little shock. And we waited until around lunchtime, which is our breakfast time. We keep breakfast for hours, and went for a walk. We live in Midtown, and it was just gorgeous, you know. So everything is good today. And really, that's all any of us can ask for, isn't it?
Yes, it's so true. And I hear what you're saying about using creativity. Like, I do believe that writing is healing. And especially with fiction, I don't know if you agree with this, but when I write fiction, I feel like I'm in somebody else's life and someone else's world, and in a body that, I have also chronic illness, but in a body which is sick, sometimes, like, being in somebody else's body, I feel almost normal.
That's true. That's very true, though. You do, it's almost like acting, only it's different. Instead of playing out the role, you're putting pen to paper, and like you say, you're becoming that character.
Mm-hmm.
And it is healing. It's very healing.
What was that shift for you when you were writing? Because I also write nonfiction, and I don't feel the same, that same being able to put myself in another person's shoes in that way as I do with fiction. But what was the shift for you when you went from being a nonfiction writer to wanting to try to write fiction?
It was great. I had planned on taking a short story I wrote, oh my goodness, back in maybe 2015, 2016, and I was just going to rework it into 2020, and it ended up becoming a novel, and it sounds so easy. Oh, I'll take this story and just rework it.
Yeah.
Well, no.
That's a big obstacle. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I definitely think to be a writer, you need to have some kind of motivation, determination, because it takes years, right? Like, how long did it take you?
This has taken me, I probably started the story in 2015, so it's the work of 5 years off and on.
Wow. And at any point in that time, did you feel like just giving it up and starting something new?
Every day.
I hear you. What was the thing that kept you going, persevering through that?
I had to tell the story. It's like the characters had to tell their story.
Mm. Yeah, that's awesome. I hear people saying, I used to hear that when I used to write nonfiction, I thought I would never write fiction because people would say, fiction authors would say, oh, I hear the characters, they're talking to me. And I was like, I don't hear that. I don't know what that means. But I think the more you get into the world of the character, I'm starting to feel that as well. Like, do you hear your characters telling you? Do they have voices? Do they talk to you?
They don't really have voices. I actually studied acting. I'm not an actor. Let me say that. I am not an actress. And the only reason I studied acting was to learn about how to build a character.
That's so interesting.
Most authors will take writing courses. Well, I have words, and I've taken some writing courses, but I find that acting has taught me more how to build a character. I know one of my pet peeves is when I read a book and everyone sounds the same.
Mm.
All the dialogue is the same. And we don't all think the same. Even if we're from the same city, in the same region, same dialect, everything, we don't think the same and we don't express ourselves the same way. And I try to make sure there's that difference in every single character that I create, that they all have a voice. Mine don't talk to me. I know their background. I sometimes know who their grandparents are, even if it doesn't show us in the book. I'll know not only color of their eyes and height, but what their middle name is. So they don't talk to me as much as they present themselves.
How do you, did you learn that? Like, what specific skills did you learn in the acting class that maybe you can share with some of the people who are listening and want to write well, write really authentic characters?
The most important one I ever learned was at Vanderbilt University in Nashville. And an acting course I took literally taught us, let's say there's a three, or, and you could make it up, but you had to sit down and write the name of your character, give some information about their past, information about where they were born, what shaped them, what their motivations were, what they were trying to do, who they had loved in the past. You had to sit down, and for every character they gave you, you had to do this form. And that has helped me more than anything when I've written fiction. because I know my characters. I know their favorite foods. Again, even if it doesn't come out in the story, I still know that about them.
That is so important, because I always hear that with, you know, when I listen to interviews with agents and publishers, and even getting, you know, my own rejection letters, it always says, you know, I didn't connect with the character. So do you think that somebody could do that even if they didn't take an acting class?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. It wouldn't be that difficult to do. I don't know how other people approach it, but maybe just take a day and imagine seeing that character walk down the street, or running into them in an elevator, or, you know, chatting with them. Of course, we're doing social distancing now, but while you're waiting to get a coffee, maybe just imagine them in a situation in everyday life and how they would impact you. What would they say that would make you, would make them register something in your consciousness or subconscious, I guess. So there's ways we can connect with our characters, and everyone has a different way.
That is really good advice. For you, did you have any trouble? The book that's coming out in October, did you say it's coming out?
Yes.
Correct. What can you tell us the name of the book again in October?
The book is called I'll See You in My Dreams. Mm. And what I did was take a modern day story. It's based loosely on fairy tales. It's about a professor at Emory University here in Atlanta who begins to have dreams that are triggered by a letter she sees from, like, pre-Civil War. And she begins to have these dreams, and she starts writing them down. Well, meantime, there's a character in the book who is also having dreams about her. And it's the whole story about how they end up connecting in the dream world and then connecting in real life.
Wow. That sounds really interesting. I'm sure you did you do research for it, for the history part of it?
Well, that's where my love of history got to come out. I got to do a time travel and go back to 1873 and find out what they wore, what they ate, how they did things. So it was a really interesting thing for me, because it was kind of taking everything I love. Modern day Atlanta, I got to go into the past, and which is always surprising, and it's not a very pretty place. So a lot of injustices happened, especially in the American South, and I hope and I feel that I've addressed those correctly. And given the people that deserve it the respect they deserve. So it was a real learning curve for me. And thanks for asking that.
Oh no, it sounds like it'd be a lot of work, because I mean, I can hear you, because as a nonfiction writer, I always have those fears as well when I'm quoting somebody or I'm doing research that I want to make sure it's right. So you had that part piece of it plus the fiction piece of it. So is this a book that took you 5 years to write and edit?
Yes.
Wow. I can't imagine. That seems like it'd be very difficult to have those two. I mean, I guess because you're passionate about it, and so maybe it wasn't as hard as it could be. But to combine those two elements there, I can imagine that would be really hard to do.
Well, you're a creative. I didn't realize how complex it was until my content editor sent me an email and said, something about this is very complex and you have three plots going. And I thought, I had no idea. I was just writing a book. So I guess it did take time, took a lot of research, and I'm very thankful it's done. Although you write, you know how it is. It's like every morning I wake up and I think, oh, I need to put this one more sentence in there.
Yeah. I mean, did you have to do like an outline, or were you writing? What did the research part of it look like too? I'm curious.
Generally, and I'm glad you asked that, I do an outline. I'm an outliner. And what happened on this one, I was going to take a dream sequence And it ended up, I was going to write like a 25,000 word novella. And then I started writing this separate dream sequence that was going to be maybe 5,000 or 6,000 words. And that became another 20,000 because wow. I just couldn't quit. It's like you said earlier, it's like the characters were telling me this story, and the story just, what was going to be one scene, next thing I know, it was like half of the book.
Wow. Are you writing so like regularly, like a routine every day or many words?
I've been blogging more. I'm really in love with the history of rock and roll. So I've connected with Morrison Hotel Gallery in Maui, LA, and New York, and they sell classic, iconic rock and roll photographs. So we've connected, and just this morning I did a pictorial tribute to Little Richard, who has influenced everyone, whether we realize it or not. So that's kind of been my latest thing. And it's fun after writing a book to find, at least for me, to find something else that gives me another creative outlet and goes in a completely different direction.
That's interesting. So that's all on your blog?
That one is my Medium blog. I have a Tudor England blog, Medium blog.
I'll put that all in the notes so people can find those. I'd love to read it as well. It's so interesting. Sounds really interesting.
Okay. I'll make sure you get everything on my email, but I try to keep the different parts of my history love in different places.
Yeah, you have so many interests. It's pretty amazing. And do you write, do you have a specific amount of words that you have to write a day? Sounds like you write pretty regularly, though.
I write regularly, but I'm not one of these that says, I have to write 2,000 words today. I'm going to sit down and write a sentence, you know, and that's it. Or I'm really connected to my phone. I don't do notes like a lot of people do. I'll tap things out on my phone and then come back to those and develop whatever, you know, like if something went through my mind yesterday, I might sit down Monday and turn that into a blog or, you know, think, well, right now I'm kind of letting myself go. I'm not putting any pressure on me to do anything. And if I want to do something, I just go ahead and do it.
That sounds so cool. And I'm curious, do you have any apps or that you're using on your phone to record notes?
I don't do that. Simply because I'm so Southern. when I talk to myself, that it almost takes as long for me to redo what the phone app comes up with as it did for me to say it. So it's easier for me to just sit down and type out what's in my head.
I'm the same way. I know what you mean. How do you get, because you have so many ideas. You sound kind of like me, actually, because I got a lot of interest too. But how do you decide which you should work on? Like when you're working on this book, were you also working on another project? And if so, how do you, you know, delineate between like which one I should work on first? Or do you have a way to organize your ideas, your thoughts?
Don't you think you prioritize? You draw on like your business background and you think this one is more important today, or this story is presenting itself, or I need to share, I like to share other people's work. I need to share this book today. That's the way I do it. Whatever I feel is the most important thing is what gets done that day.
Did you kind of have like a schedule?
I'm not on any deadlines. Oh, pardon me?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Do you have a schedule like every day you're going to spend like this amount of time doing this and then work on this project and then switch to that project?
No, I really don't. And it seems like my best ideas come at night. So I take the day to exercise, to get things done. And then it's almost like when the sun goes down, it's like here comes whatever ideas in my brain.
Wow. Well, I'd like to pick your brain when it comes to marketing because, like I told you earlier, I'm just in awe of the number of followers you have on social media, and you actually have a marketing background. And, you know, for us writers, especially in platforms like Instagram, it's kind of difficult to note to say when we're purely a word people. So do you have any advice for authors or writers on how to do well in social media?
I think, and thank you again for asking, the best thing to do that I found when I first started out, I joined every group I could find that was like, you know, follow on Facebook, follow on Twitter. Just, you know, you got to get out there and hustle. Then you've got to learn hashtags. I mean, the right hashtag on Twitter, and I don't use Twitter that much anymore, but that's really where my fan base started growing, because I was working with a lot of musicians. I had a very popular blog at that point that was music oriented, and I really built up a following. Twitter now seems to have gone more political, and I just find Instagram more appealing, but there again, it's a completely different use of hashtags. And I took a lot of courses on how to best present your story on Instagram, and not just stories, but how your page looks and how to use those hashtags and how to reach your market, your niche, your demographic. And that's what I would recommend. Just get in there. If it costs you $75 to take an Instagram course, take it, because it will pay off. Find out what other people are doing, who other people recommend, and then follow these gurus, and they'll tell you what it took for them to get to 100,000, 200,000 followers, and how they became influencers. And that's what I would recommend. And with that, the right hashtag on Instagram will bring you a following.
Do you have some good hashtags you can share with us?
It really depends. The difference between Twitter and Instagram is where you might use hashtag fiction on Twitter and get seen by a huge number of people. On Instagram, that same hashtag might have 2 million people looking at it, so you're going to get lost. So the best thing to do is find like fiction writers, and I'm making this up, but that hashtag might have 100,000 followers or posts, and you want to do something that has been seen less, so you will get in the top 10. So it's a completely different way to use hashtags than on Twitter. So let's say you use hashtag writers of Instagram and it's got 500,000 views or posts, but then you go to writers IG and it's got 50,000, you'll hit the top 10. So when people hit that hashtag page, they will see you. Well, if you've got something they're interested in, they're going to follow you.
That's important, because I know for I know it's not as important for fiction as nonfiction, but I know having a platform is important for book sales and stuff, and you're doing already well with that. So is the book that's coming out in October, I'll See You in My Dreams, that you said that's part of a 20 book set, right, entitled Once Upon Another World?
Yes.
Yeah, so for that one, so that means that there's going to be 19 other books with authors in there, and it's all together?
Yes.
So you'd probably need to get a following to get that. And that book, is that traditionally published? It sounds like it
is. We're using a publisher, so this one is, yes.
And how was that? Was that, can you kind of tell me about the process of, when, was it you came up with an idea and then you went to look for a publisher, an agent?
Generally, long story short, I went to the London Book Fair in 2014, and so many publishers I met or managing directors said, if you have an idea, come to me directly, because if you just submit, it's going to go, you're going to automatically be rejected. So I just did a little research, and when I've had an idea, I felt like was something a publisher might be interested in. I've gone directly, I've just Googled, what would we do without Google? I've just Googled whoever would be over the department of what I'm writing, and I've emailed them directly. I'm not very shy. Because they're either going to tell you yes or no. Mm-hmm. And if they tell you no, then you can go on to someone else.
Yeah.
And I have contacted a few agents, and I'm actually good friends with some. But that's just really not going to be the path for me. And I do have to just tell you one funny story. I did contact an agent. I had quite a few friends say, look, she's looking for someone who's Southern, you know, send her this idea, blah, blah, blah. I emailed her, sent her the concept for my book, and I got an email back saying, you aren't Southern enough.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. It was so hilarious because I've lived in Tennessee and Georgia my whole life, and... Well, I know, it was just one of those. My husband is so great. He's actually from Glasgow, Scotland. And when I showed it to them, he laughed out loud and he said, you have got to print this out and hang it on your wall. He said, because no one that knows you would ever say that you're not Southern enough for something.
That's so funny.
We just kind of decided then agents are good for some people, but probably not for me.
Yeah. Well, you found a way that's successful, so that's great. It doesn't matter which way you get there, it's that you got there. So I'm sure you're super excited about the book coming out.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I am too, and I will be having a freebie that'll be offered in June, and it's the prequel to the novel. So
tell us about that. Yeah, tell us about that. So you're going
to
be letting people know about it on your website? Or where can we hear more about that?
As soon as we get a link, you can go to huntersjones.com. That's my pen name.
Okay.
And I will post there with the link for the freebie and how you can get that.
And because I'm wondering, because, you know, I've asked a lot of authors that this pandemic has really changed things, you know, in terms of in-person, you know, book launches and things. What do you have planned for? I know it's fall, so things might change. But do you have any promotional kind of things that people can hear about as well?
I depend on word of mouth. Contact a lot of bloggers. I have some tweet teams. That helps. I don't really sell that much through Twitter, and I'm not that active on it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a good way to spread the word about what you're doing. So everything has its place. I know a lot of people will post everything to other social media, and I don't do that because they all have a different interest, or at least mine do. So I'll use the bloggers, use my tweet teams, go on Instagram, study my hashtags. Right now I'm kind of taking a break from Instagram because you really have to work on these hashtags to get it right.
Mm-hmm.
And I greatly admire people that post maybe 3 times or more a day, because I don't know how they have time.
Yeah, I mean, it takes a while, right? I mean, it feels so awkward, too. I don't know if... I'm an introvert. I don't know if you're an introvert, but to get there in social media, it feels like a big mic and everyone's staring at you. And it takes a long time to think about the right words and how you want to present yourself. So I agree with you there.
Yeah, and I don't have any problem telling people about me. So, and I don't have any problem telling people about you or anyone else. A complete extrovert, so that's probably another reason. And I do use a newsletter very rarely, maybe once a month. I have friends that will do that for me, thank goodness. But I found I like social media because I like that connection.
Mm.
It's just like a virtual real life. I like people asking me questions. I like to find out how they're doing. And I think if you use it that way to connect with people, instead of just saying, buy my book, that's another way to build up alliances and get those followers that you want. Just be real. I know I followed some people and, you know, they never like anything, they never say thank you, and it's just like, that's not how you do it in real life.
I think that's really good advice, because it can be intimidating, you know, And I think that saying it in that way, it sounds so warm when we connect with other people, and especially now because we're all at home, and I think we really crave that connection. So I think that's important. I think that's really good advice.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask you also, have you self-published before?
I have, and I absolutely love it because you can set your own deadlines. You can really do whatever you want with it, and I think it's great.
It's a very different, do you think, from having it traditionally published?
It's extremely different. From the time you sign your contract with a publisher, it's going to take at least 2 years for your book to get out there.
Mm. And when you self-publish, how long does it
take?
Yeah. Sorry, so self-publishing took you about how long versus 2 years with traditional publishing?
Well, of course, I say that, and this last book I've written has taken 5 years. But the thing is, once you get it edited, get your betas, get, you know, your content editor, your copy editor, get it formatted, let's say if we started writing a novel today and we could somehow come up with all those words, we could get it published as soon as we could get all those things done and get it uploaded. So that's the beauty of it.
But the cost, right? I heard that self-publishing is very expensive. Is that true?
It can be, yes. And there again, I have a team that I've worked with for years, so we've kind of maintained, I guess they charge me what we started out with in 2012, 2013.
So when you think back, I guess you would do self-publishing again. It's just whether what you want to write, if you want it to come out sooner, then that's something you would do, is self-publish. But if it's something that... How do you decide? How do you decide what books that you should try to get traditionally published versus self-published?
That's a very good question, and I don't really know if I have an answer to that. Mm-hmm. What do you do?
Well, I guess I don't know too much about self-publishing. I'm learning more about it and deciding whether I should try doing that, because it does take pretty long to get published traditionally. To me, it sounds like the big difference besides cost is that if you have something that you want to get published quickly, like there's some children's books that are getting published quickly because it's about, you know, the pandemic or about COVID. And so some writers or authors have published through self-publishing so that it can get out quicker. I don't know. To me, that seems like the biggest difference. But I don't know too much. I know traditionally publishing, do they help with marketing and things like that? Or is that all?
Yes, and that's one of the best things because they have that huge, huge platform.
Yeah. I mean, do you think it's going to affect book sales for, you know, being traditionally published versus self-published?
That probably depends on the genre you're publishing in. Because
true.
Things like history aren't going to sell as well as something that's a romance genre or one of its subgenres. Because whether people like romance or not, that's still, you know, the biggest player out there.
Mm-hmm. And this book that is coming out, what genre would you consider that? This sounds like it's fantasy.
It's time travel.
Time travel. It sounds really interesting. I think it's amazing because you have so many different gifts and talents in different areas so that you're able to pull them all in that book. Yeah, I'm looking forward to reading that book. It sounds really cool.
Well, thank you.
I think I
asked... It was really fun, Anna.
Yeah.
Oh, I have to tell you, I even did the cover for it.
Really?
I'm completely immersed in this book.
Oh my goodness. Well, tell us about that. I'm curious. How did you do the cover?
I had this concept in my mind, and I couldn't find, like, the proofs I got back from the artist. I'm not going to diss anybody. But they just weren't get in the vision I had in my own head for my cover. So I just did it myself.
Wow. How did you do it? There's
a site, and I'm not getting any money for this, but mm-hmm. it's called Book Cover Zone. And you can choose your own format. They give you the letters, the colors, and of course you can change any of that if you want to. But they do everything and even give you your social media, your Twitter size, your Facebook size, et cetera, et cetera. And it's like maybe $80.
Wow. And the publisher was fine with you doing that too?
Okay, the phone popped again. Could you repeat that?
Oh, yeah. The publisher was fine with you doing that too?
Oh, definitely.
Wow. That is amazing. You made the cover and the book. That's cool. Oh, my God.
I don't mind.
That is amazing. I saw the cover and it looks really good. I'm very impressed. So I was wondering, also, you mentioned beta readers, and I know you're in a ton of different groups, it looks like, in different organizations. How did you find your beta readers?
Word of mouth.
Because it seems like it's really important, like, who you find in your group, or who do you find to help critique your work. So you mean you just, like, from friends, you heard? Because I know you're friends with an agent as well.
The best thing I've found is information from other authors.
Mm.
And once you find that core group of people that support you and your work, other authors, they will let you know who they use for betas, for content. And I'm very big on content and copy editors, because content's going to help you shape your story. As we all know, whatever that first draft is, it's just horrible.
Yeah.
Yes. No matter what your intentions are, and a good content editor will be able to tell you in a way, and it might hurt your feelings sometimes, but you know, the art is really more important than your feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And they will guide you in how to best get your story and your characters across. So you've got to have that content editor. From there, betas, because we all have grammar gremlins, they're going to sneak in, they're going to be overlooked. You might have a story in front of 20 people, and one person's going to go, well, you put a 2 in there instead of the. It's just the way it is. So you've got to have those betas, and there are people that will read your work for free just to help you out.
Mm.
And, you know, they won't pirate a copy. You can find people that will really help you. And then you need the copy editor to come in after all that is done and bring everything into focus and help you make sure the book has the polish to be presented to readers.
Great advice. Well, thank you so much, Deb. I feel like I got so much information from everything you said. Is there anything else that you wanted to mention?
I just want to thank you, and again, back to Instagram, that is the wave, and I do recommend people just ask around, find out the best people to take courses from, and if you have to spend a little bit of money, find a way to work that into your budget, because it's going to be worth it for you in the long term.
Thank you. Thank you so much for that, and we're going to give all the listeners all the information from your upcoming book and the prequel in June. But thank you so much for your time. I learned so much from you, and it was really a pleasure talking with you.
Well, thank you, Brandy. It's been a pleasure, and I can't believe we talked this long.
Yeah, it went by fast. Thank you.